You being you is so freeing for everybody else. But that's the fear we live in, is that somebody is gonna not like who I am.
You are going to know me. You're going to know my strong points, but that also means you're gonna know my weak points, and allowing people to be there for you at your lowest and your darkest.
I'm just there to say, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna make it.
And what's deep inside you, in your core that's been planted there, is what's gonna come to the surface. So what are you planting?
That is the longing we have inside of us. Tell me who God says I am. God says I am.
Welcome to Authentic You, a podcast brought to you by the Women of Jesus Culture.
Welcome back to Authentic You. It's the three of us here today. I'm CJ Leapshire, and the last two have been me having to interview people, and I wanted my cohorts in this to hang out and chat, and you share all of our greatness.
We need like a name. It's the three. I'm Becky, everybody. Hi. And
I'm Erica. Hi.
She's our South African friend.
Mm-hmm. Makes us sound smarter because she has an accent.
Totally. I love to tell people that I have a friend from South Africa. And we actually have a really, really fresh topic.
Yes.
We had a whole different plan for this podcast, actually.
Till about 15 minutes ago.
Right. So who were we going to interview?
Banning. We were going to interview Banning. And we changed our mind.
He begged to be on this podcast.
Yeah, because we're better than his podcast and stuff. Well, we have more fun.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
I can attest to that.
But we rejected him.
So we were going to talk to him about what it looks like to celebrate women in leadership, which I think would be a great topic. And we'll bring him back in some other time. Mm-hmm. But actually, we were just sitting talking right before the recording and kind of we started talking about life, and this topic came up and we felt like, hey, CJ felt maybe we should discuss this in the podcast. So what are we talking about today, C?
I want to talk about what it looks like when the ugly comes back. Because for me...
And not like a zit.
No.
Or well, not that, like weight that you gain. We could talk about that sometime.
We could talk about that stuff.
Best blemish treatments or quick diets.
Let me tell you, turning 40, you still get
zits. It's not pretty.
Yeah. What the heck? Like, yeah. I'm 40.
Hey, I do want to say real quick, we're doing a podcast survey for overall Jesus Culture, the podcast that we offer. And we got a couple of surveys back in. And one of our questions we ask is, what is your favorite podcast? What's one of them? And we have several men that have answered the survey who in their top favorites was Authentic You. So they're listening.
Wow. Well, men, do you get zits like there are creators also? Because that, I'm sure, is why you want to listen.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, just kidding. So what we're really talking about is when the ugly comes back. So for me, you know, there have been victories I have fought for in my life. I have fought for freedom from anxiety. I fought from, you know, just unhealthy patterns that I've had or fear that I have walked in. And man, it is so discouraging when you think you have a victory and boom, it pops up in your face. What do we do when that happens? How do we walk it out?
Yep. So we're going to be talking about that and diving into what that looks like for our own life, how we walk it out with community, the word, and we've all experienced it to some level. So we're really excited. It's going to be a really good podcast. But before that, we want you to check this out.
Hey, listeners, we need to know what you like about this podcast and, more importantly, what you don't like. Please go to jesusculture.com/podcast survey and take 2 minutes to answer a few questions. You'll get $5 off for the Jesus Culture online store and be entered to win a sweet prize. Go to jesusculture.com/podcast survey to help your favorite podcast become even better. Again, that's jesusculture.com/podcast survey.
Hey, everybody, we're back, and we are getting ready to dive into our topic of what to do when the ugly comes back. I think that's going to be the name of this one. It's going to stick.
I think it's a good one.
It's going to be good. And we're really excited to just share with you a bit of each of our lives. But before that, we want to highlight Erica's awesomeness right now. She can speak two languages, which we're very impressed by because we can't. And I bet we have a lot of listeners in South Africa. So,
yeah, maybe we do. Well, my first language is Afrikaans. And it only gets spoken in South Africa.
So it's not
Afrikaans-speaking people, not too handy in America, but...
But let's go for it.
Yeah.
Say hello and say some nice things about us, because we won't be able to know.
Well, hello my mede Suid-Afrikaners. in Suid-Afrika. So ek dink hierdie die titel van hierdie podcast gaan wees wanneer die lelikheid terugkom.
It kind of sounds German and Dutchish.
We have a lot of r's and g's in Afrikaans.
But there's no Afrikaans word for podcast. It's just podcast.
I'm pretty sure they will have something because they have a word for website, which is webwerf. And I think if you're Afrikaans speaking, that's acceptable. But my husband and I, who is a program a software developer, we laugh our heads off for the Afrikaans words when it comes to computers.
That's awesome.
But bye bye, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we agree.
Poor Erica has to be friends with me, who cannot speak any other language. I can't even repeat words. Like when my oldest was learning Spanish, she would want me to quiz her and she would just end up crying in laughter at me trying to say Spanish words. But so Erica and her husband will speak Afrikaans while I'm in the car. And I giggle because some words sound
like that.
Or they sound like our words. So to say swimming pool.
Swimming pool. It's a swim butt.
It's a swim butt. And I, being the mature 40-year-old that I am, roll in laughter that they have a swim butt.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah, CJ can only speak American.
Yes.
Not much English. It's American.
It's American.
It's very American.
It's there special.
You go. If you can speak Afrikaans, you just got a little treat there. But CJ, before we dive into the topic, you wanted to share a little bit about the kind of some insight behind the name.
I've just been thinking
our podcast
about Authentic You. And, you know, if you're paying attention in the social media world, in the blogging world, you see a lot of women who are out there kind of spilling their guts and becoming slightly famous for spilling their guts in this raw, broken, here I am. And some of it I think is really beautiful. But at the same time, I feel like it is creating a different mindset of what it is to authentically be you. Like authentically being you isn't you're vulnerable, you cry at the drop of a hat. I mean, yeah, if that is a little bit me, let's just be honest.
Right, that's you.
That's not everybody in this room. And if every woman feels like in order to be authentic, I have to be vulnerable, I have to be broken, I have to lay it all bare, then we're just creating a new stereotype that everybody has to measure up to. And what we want to do, or what I want to do, is allow women to be women. Like if you are strong and you want to go face whatever crowd or whatever it is you want to face, go do that. Go be loud. Go be quiet. Whatever it is that makes you you. That's what I want us to bring with our women's ministry, with this podcast, just encourage, you know, and men, you can also be you.
Yes. I love that because, you know, it is kind of getting this little trendy thing, like being raw and authentic is like, well, I just cry and I don't care and blah, 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 blah. But for some women, they don't cry and that's them.
Yes.
And then you can kind of feel a pressure, like you've got to be this way to be perceived as being real or raw. But maybe your real raw is that you're super steely and you've got, you know, strong nerves and you've got just like you're awesome and brave and whatever. So I love that message of just be you.
You know, and I think our biggest challenge is as women is to not simply figure out how to get along only with somebody who's like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I stay vulnerable yet value somebody who that is not them being, you know, like actually, Erica, you're different than me. You're vulnerable, but you're strong. Mm-hmm. And me and you have really worked on our friendship on how to walk this out.
Yeah, I was just thinking that it's actually, I think it's pretty difficult to be you in a vacuum. I think, you know, the whole message of being you should be, it is a healthy process when you are finding yourself within community.
Mm. Yeah.
And most of all, as a Christian woman or somebody who loves Jesus, that you would find it within the Word, you know, because of what He says. Because we've talked about this often too, that when you detach yourself from community, when you detach yourself from the Word of God, then things can become a little bit weird because that's also what's out there. Like, be you, but it's so far removed from who God created us to be.
Right.
So it is more, it's not a warning. It's more an encouragement, because I have found in my life, the more free I have become, it's only because of me embracing the person God created me to be. Mm-hmm. So it's me walking through healing and walking into freedom and coming closer and closer to the way that He created me in the very first place.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we get lost when we try to do it in a vacuum.
Talk about that. Like, what do you mean vacuum?
I mean, when you try to do it by yourself, like you or make decisions about who you are without any input. You have no input from God, or the Bible, the Word of God, or people that you trust in your community, or you can just come to a place where you make decisions like, I am like this.
Yeah.
I will now divorce my husband and I will now go and just walk in the mountains because God created me to just be in nature. So that I would say, those are the things you want to walk in community. He puts us in family. Mm-hmm. And family takes many shapes and forms too, you know, but it puts us in community. There's wisdom, there's safety. So I would say, as we tether ourselves to the Word of God and walk this journey of self-discovery and becoming more and more the person He created you to be, the freedom comes, the healing comes. Mm-hmm. I find it in my own life, I have not gotten to any place of freedom or healing without the Lord. I have not grown to know me better and become free in who I am without walking this hand in hand with community and with Him.
That's so good. I think too, you know, women have this, it's kind of the stereotype that we go to the bathroom in groups, we hang out in groups. Women are always with other women and we do community so well. But what we found in our church is that's actually not the case. It can be really hard.
Really lonely to be a woman. And
you're at home with your kids, you feel isolated, like you can't get out.
Or you don't have kids, you're not married.
Exactly.
And where do you fit? What do you do?
Yeah. And so CJ's done a great job, even with this whole podcast is birthed out of our women's community at Jesus Culture Sacramento, like kind of like blowing the lid off what we thought women needed even. And we realized, oh, wow, we need each other. And it's not easy. Mm-mm. It's not easy to say that. And it's really not easy for women to connect. We wanted to start to break down those walls.
Yeah, I was thinking when Erica was talking about the Word and with everything else, there's a part of being you doesn't come without self-control and without that community. Because there are certain things we'll allow, like we'll allow somebody to cry everywhere because, well, that's just them and they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But would you allow somebody, or would you be okay with somebody who decides, I just feel angry and I'm going to be angry all over everyone and anyone because that's who I am. Yeah. And in all honesty, that's a very simple example of if we don't walk connected to the Word, because the Word talks about controlling our anger. It talks about our words. It talks about if you really get into it and you do stay tethered to the Word and community, then you don't feel shame from feeling angry, because sometimes we go through times in our life. Right. We're like, I'm pretty pissed, actually.
Yeah.
I just realized my life has been pretty crappy. I kind of hit that at 18. I was like, wait a second.
This sucks.
I thought life was awesome. And now I realize these people didn't go through half the crap I did. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. What? And so I had anger. And I think a lot of us have anger, but when we walk through with community and connection to God, you learn that anger doesn't control us. It doesn't get to be who we are.
Yeah.
But it can be if we allow it to become who we are.
Good.
Yeah. I think being authentically you doesn't mean perfection, but it also isn't permission to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because we are all in relationship. You know, and we are first and foremost in relationship with Jesus. And when we bring ourselves to Him, it affects all of us. Mm-hmm. So that's what I am after. Like, who is it? What is it that you had in mind when you created me? Mm-hmm. That's the gap I want to close.
That's a good question to ask Jesus in your time with Him. Like, hey, go get with the Lord, those listening, and say, what did you have in mind when you created me? Like, when do we ask that?
Well,
we
just kind of make these assumptions. I'm perfect.
Yes.
You're his favorite.
Yeah, like yeah, a yeah. princess.
We've heard that before.
And he wants to give me cupcakes.
He probably does. But that's just a little bit.
Yes, he enjoys us.
Yes.
So I'm like, what if I don't enjoy me? So where is the discrepancy? Where's the gap? You know, he does not lie, and he made me good. And I, for me, it's a lifetime's journey of discovering me in that way and how he created me to be.
So that was just a little bit about what we wanted to share about authentic you and what that means, and make sure we're getting our message across with really what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. But today we're talking about when the ugly comes back. So we kind of were talking, the three of us, like we said, right before this, we were going to have Banning on, but we just started talking about some real life stuff that each of us was walking through. And so you're just like, what if we talked about this on the podcast? So talk a little bit about what you were thinking.
Well, this kind of started to get stirred up because if anybody's listened before, I had a pretty intense journey with anxiety. Started 10 years ago, probably 4 years of thinking my life was over, and then slowly climbed out of the pit, and I was doing really good. And then I decided I was like the coolest friend in the world and went to Ireland with Erica.
She was the coolest friend in the world.
She was going to see her sister.
Oh, yeah. Erica was
my sister lives in Ireland and had her very first baby at 41. So this was a really big occasion.
And if you know me, I'm not one that's like dream in life is to travel the world, which is hilarious because I married a man who all he talks about is traveling the flipping world. And I'm like...
So travel for you brings anxiety.
Yes, it always has.
You don't like to leave your kids.
Right.
And so this trip was just recently this year.
Yes,
right?
And this was my idea. This also was not like Erica going, please go with me. I got called her. I'm like, what if I go to Ireland with you? And she's like, what?
You had a moment of
bravery.
I'll
go pray about it.
You'll call it a momentary lapse of judgment. No.
Give me some time.
Anyway, so. I was like, I felt peace about it. I was like excited. It was going to be great.
And your first time leaving your kids, your three kids, for that long.
So yeah, don't talk about how old they are. I'm special.
I'm never going to leave my kid. She's four. I've never left her overnight, and I have no plans to.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, thank you. Not until she's
anyway,
30.
I went, and there were outside circumstances that I won't talk about. But something happened, and it triggered my anxiety.
In Ireland. When
in
you got
Ireland.
There.
A couple days in. It was so hard, not simply because of the anxiety coming back, but the why the anxiety came back and how I've had victory over this. How come it is here? I know how to walk through this. I know how to defeat anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I have Jesus in a new way. I mean, all the things you want to tell yourself, and they meant nothing in that moment. And I had to work so hard not to partner with any lies about who I was because this had come back.
So what did that look like? I mean, you know, you like you said, you had victory over this thing a long time ago. And did you feel like, I've already walked through hell. I do not. Why am I doing this again? Did you feel like you had failed?
Oh, yes. It was so pretty. It wasn't humbling at all to be in somebody else's home and crying like a little baby about feeling afraid. Oh, it was awful. But anybody who walks through anxiety, you understand the feeling of vulnerability, the feeling of out of control. You can't get it together. And I mean, Erica's walked with me for a long time through the anxiety. So I was thankful I was with her because she knew and she knew a lot of the right things to say that would help. But the biggest thing was not partnering with that I was going backwards.
Yeah.
Or I was going to go back into another 4-year pit.
I think also you spend a lot of time, which I try to encourage you not to do, spending time on why.
Yes.
Yeah. Why? And there is a measure of that because you had a why, but taking it one step further, why me or something like that, which is super not helpful.
Right.
It's actually a lot of energy wasted because life is life. Life happens.
Yeah.
So how'd you, in that moment, like not partner with that? Was it a daily choice? Was it a minute by minute? Like, okay, I'm just going to choose to believe that this is not going to be my battle again, or
Well, if anybody who walks through anxiety to that level, because this isn't just like feeling nervous. That's right. One thing. This is like your brain doesn't work. You can't stay awake. You shake. Panic attacks rolling through your body. This is different. You know, sometimes I'll have people go like, I have anxiety too. And I'm like, oh, you do? Well, but you're standing up. How are you standing up? Yeah. I want to stand up when it hits me.
Yeah.
Like, what's your trick? You know, so I mean, and everybody, not to diminish that, because that's still hard to walk through. But, you know, for me, the first couple of days were hard. And anybody, I think, that's walked through at that level, all you want to do is make it go away. Mm-hmm. So you do everything you can. So probably for a day, I think I did everything I could to try to figure out how to make it go away. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I just started to walk through the tools. Once I got myself like, okay, it's here. The anxiety is here. It didn't go away after I slept. Mm-hmm. So what are the tools I know?
Yeah.
And just kind of stepping back into what do I know to walk this out correctly?
That's good.
Okay. Who are some people that have been pillars in my life that I can call? Mm-hmm. So I called Chris Vallotton on the phone. Chris is at, we've known each other for a while. Anyway, he's like, first question, I'm in Ireland in the backyard of somebody else's house. And he goes, is your period close? And I'm all, yes, it is. He's like,
okay.
Have you eaten too much sugar? Yes, I have.
So good. It's so good though. He's helping you recognize.
Yeah. And, but those were two things. And so he just gave me some, there's some simple, just getting outside wisdom of like, go eat eggs. Quit eating sugar. What? Yeah. Okay. You know, and then.
Get protein. Lots of protein.
Yes. Yeah. And then Erica knew, you know, from the many years. So she had lots of things that she would remind me of. Like, hey, who did God say you were in that time?
Yeah.
And even though it doesn't, your emotions don't line up with it, you fill yourself with that truth. Like, I don't believe it, but I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
That's my truth. That's my truth.
This is an important part, that the fact that it showed up again or just stuck out its head didn't mean your victory. You didn't have victory years ago, or you don't have authority to speak about this, or you cannot help somebody else. That is not what it means. That was my job, to remind CJ that we are not back at square one. This is not what it means. Your victory is your victory.
Yeah, you're not disqualified now.
Not disqualified. And I do understand that. I think the hardest thing to do is to not disqualify yourself.
Yeah.
And we are coincidentally talking about anxiety, but it can be anything, any battle. It can be relationally. Mm-hmm. Like you walk something through relationally and a year later, it's like, oh, yeah, we're coming around the mountain again.
Right.
And we want to be, you know, clear, like this happens in all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
So it could be your marriage. And then, you know, you get another bad couple of months and you think, we did marriage counseling, we did the conference, we got through the separation, like how are we back here? But to hold on to hope, like you haven't lost victory over your marriage.
It can be in your health,
finances,
anything.
For me, when I was first met Banning and CJ and you guys started to kind of spiritually parent me and mentor me, I struggled with fatherlessness and this orphan mindset and just feeling unloved and all the things that go along with when you don't have a dad. And I remember I went through school of ministry. I had counseling. I got inner healing. I was like, I'm good. I know God is my father. I no longer have this big father wound. I'm good. And then something happened and all of a sudden I'm sobbing about I didn't have a dad again. And I looked at Banning and I was like, how am I here again? I already went through this. I've already forgiven my real dad. I've already made God my father. And he goes, sometimes our healing is like an onion. He's like, there's layers. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not that God's left you. This is not that you have, I felt bad. I felt guilty. Like, oh God, I'm sinning. You know, I'm not believing your word. I'm going backwards. But you guys just reminded me that it's upward spiral. It's healing at another layer of depth.
Yeah.
And because God is so good, he's not okay with just a little bit of healing. He wants you to get all of it.
Yeah.
And you're just getting more tools in your belt, wherever it is. I mean, this could be over anything. Your self-esteem, your kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you walk through a hard time with Ellie, I'm sure you're going to walk through a hard time with another kid.
No. The rest of my life is perfect. We don't have hard things. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that what you're saying is what we're saying is don't discredit yourself.
You know, one of the things that, well, I have two thoughts. One is when you're walking through whatever it is, I think one of the biggest tools you can do is choose to believe the truth, which, so for me, like Erica kept saying those things, or Banning when I would call him on the phone, Chris when I would talk to him on the phone, and I could easily dismiss them because they don't line up with how I feel.
Right.
Yeah. So for whatever it is, you've got people speaking truth about your finances, about your health, about your marriage, about your kids, and you can choose to not let your feelings tell you what the truth is over your life or line up with the truth of what somebody is speaking. And that is really powerful to say, I don't feel it.
I don't
feel
like it's
going
to be okay, but God says that he's going to take care of it.
I don't feel like I'm going to make it, but you know what? I made it through last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll make it through the next night.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that you, Erica, have told me over and over again is your victory isn't the absence of feeling anxious.
Yeah.
And that was like a little bit, I argued for a lot of years in my head. You don't argue with Erica because she's kind of strong. I'm just kidding. She is strong, but you pick your battles, okay? Okay, people? No, but
I'm not saying anything.
Because I'm like, no, I don't want to feel this. We don't want to walk through our stuff again.
So your picture of victory was, I never have a bad day with anxiety.
Right.
That's what victory is.
I have perfect peace at all time because the word says that's the promise for me.
Yeah.
But then you forget, like, life is real.
Right.
And hard things happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. God did not make us robots. We feel things.
Yeah.
Because if we had no feelings, we would pretty much be a robot and we'll be okay.
Yeah, but that sounds really nice when you're in hell.
I absolutely understand that. I absolutely understand. In the moment, it's really hard to hear. So I'm like, you have to set yourself up with what in that moment when my feelings are overwhelming, what did I set up for myself?
Yeah.
Like, what is my emergency pack?
Mm-hmm.
I go back to the last time I felt peace and my truth and the people that I, like you reached out to people that that you have history with that would speak the truth to you. Because I think that we spend a lot of time and energy fighting, trying to get the feelings
To
go away instead of it's here.
Walk through it.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Because I think it's overwhelming. I feel like it can feel like I'm never going to win.
Well, you can't ever win because...
No, because we are very, very emotional and feeling beings. And it's a part of the heart of God. He made us like that. But he did say it does not control us.
Mm-hmm. And I think two women are... I know we all experience this so bad at beating yourself up.
Oh, gosh,
like we hear women too, you know, like they'll come to us like, I did it again. I spent all the money. I was going to budget this month. Or I, you know, fought with my husband again. Or I yelled at my kids like, I don't want to. And then again, they're like back at square one. And we're like, hey, that's okay. Yeah. Bad day. But tomorrow you're going to make it. Don't partner with those lies. Like go back to it. That's why you have to know what the word says. And you have to have people around you who are going to remind you.
Yeah.
You're not a bad mom. You're not bad with money. You're not sick. You're going to be healthy. You know, whatever it is.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Because we are our worst. I mean, I probably spent, half the trip apologizing for being anxious.
Yeah.
For Erica might deserve an award for taking me to Ireland and then having
Even sainthood.
Nominate
her for sainthood? Saint Erica?
No.
Saint Myburgh once said.
Hey, I can probably speak to people who walk with people who have anxiety or depression or whatever. Like, because I was thinking, what would I say to somebody if it was somebody else and you go on a trip or something happens and you're a spouse or a mom or a dad of somebody who walks through that. And I can encourage you that the number one thing to do is it is not about you. Like in that moment, it could have been easy to like, oh, CJ is messing up the trip or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the number one thing is that this is not about me because what I get to do is that I get to trust God with my trip, mm-hmm. with I get to trust him with CJ. Mm-hmm. I get to trust him with my emotions and my ideas and my thoughts that what I have mm-hmm. about what I thought this trip was going to look like right. or anything. I get to trust him and know that he's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
So which means that I am free to be what my friend needs. You are free to be what your spouse needs in that moment or your child or mm-hmm. whatever. So it is as one who's walking with somebody who is at that moment walking through intense anxiety or whatever, that is the choices I have mm-hmm. in front of me. And that was the important one for me. It's not about me right now. And I get to trust God with me.
So in the name of being authentic, and we're really raw and honest about ourselves, but we want to share with our listeners like a little bit, just practical examples of like what is our ugly look
yeah,
like.
They're actually going to share a little of them instead of just exposing me.
Oh, we so love CJ's, it when you talk, yeah. CJ.
So CJ is ugly, and we have found, wow, a lot of women struggling with it, anxiety and
yeah.
that. For me, I shared a little bit about it. I've got lots of uglies. I'm like, oh, gosh, I could really list them out. Poverty mindset, boundaries with relationships. But one of the big ones was kind of like this orphan mentality. I didn't have a dad. I had a rough relationship with my mom. And so I got plopped into this amazing family with Banning and CJ. And even here at Jesus Culture, I've shared a lot about that, how they kind of took me in when I was 19. But last year, we walked through.
It was a rough year.
A rough year, can we say it? I was youth pastoring their daughter.
Yes.
Who was just walking
figuring
through.
Out how to be a teenager.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always easy.
Exactly. Made some big messes. And in that, I was in the middle of it, kind of caught in the crossfire. And immediately, to protect myself, I orphaned up. And I said, okay, I'm going to remove myself from this family that has loved me. I don't deserve it. I've, you know, not handled things perfectly. So I just like thanked them for pouring into me for the last 10 years and just decided the relationship was now done because it was, I didn't handle it perfectly and maybe they were mad at me. And just to protect myself, just shut down. And I actually remember telling Banning, like, it was a great run with CJ being close to me. And I'm done. And thank you guys so much for all the love you've given me.
When she said it to me over the phone, I could tell she was like teary. And I knew this was like a deep thing for her heart. And I was like, oh, wait, family doesn't end because we go through a rough thing and we're not mad at you. We're all just trying to do it the best we can.
So for me, there it was, that ugly pop back up. And I... time and time again, I was crying to Derek, like, how am I feeling like an orphan again? How do I feel unloved? How do I feel unworthy? God has spoken to me about what I deserve in life, but, you know, not to partner with it. Like, I didn't just pack up my bags back at square one, forget all the encounters and all the truths that God has done, you know, in my life and said, okay, I'm struggling again, but remind myself, I am loved. I'm not going to struggle with this orphan thing and, you know, just keep walking through it. So that's for me a little bit of what that looked like and what some of my uglies are, which I really like this now. Now it's cool. I'm going to ask, what's your ugly?
And you know, it's funny, whatever is your ugly feels way worse than everybody else. It's like I'm sitting here, I'm all, oh, poor Becky. She has an orphan spirit. Like this in my head. I'm like, that's nothing. At least you don't look like a lunatic.
How about you, Erica? In Afrikaans, please.
Oh,
no, just kidding.
Yes. I would say for me, it was relationships. It was friendships that somehow...
You just can't have good friends.
Yeah, I cannot have good friends. There's something wrong with me. I'm mm-hmm. too much. I'm too this. I'm too that. So not at all understanding how the Lord put me together. So I chose to believe that he wants to give me good things.
Yeah.
He really does. He's not holding back on me
yeah.
whatsoever.
As you can see, all of us are saying the importance of knowing the truth of God, that he's mm-hmm. good, that he loves us, that he says good things about us. So we're going to wrap up. But CJ, she's got some just like practical things that you do every day for when the ugly comes back so that you're ready, that we wanted to share with you guys.
Yeah, I was thinking through like, what are like three basic points that I would encourage every person who's listening to do every day in order to, when the ugly comes back, we know what to do. We know who we are. And, you know, one, it's so simple, or it may sound silly, but read your Bible every day. Mm. There are times, I'll be honest, I read my Bible and I don't know what it said. And, or I read my Bible and I didn't pay attention to what I read. But there's such an importance of it's actually getting the word in you, because mm-hmm. when you need it, it is there. Yeah. It is there as a tool to give you strength when you don't have anything else, when you don't know what else to do. Then the other thing, Erica talked about it a lot, but it's learning yourself. Like yeah. simple things like, I don't like change. So if I had a plan for the day and Banning, who's the king of change, walks in and changes everything about my day, I feel anxious. And before, that used to throw me into a total fit. And now I've learned, oh my gosh, this is just who I am. Mm-hmm. I need 8 hours of sleep, mm-hmm. which doesn't happen very often, but I need it. And then I think, to be honest, you got to figure out how to let someone in your process. Mm-hmm. If that's your spouse, if it's a friend, if it's a counselor, because I know not everybody has access to a great friend. Mm-hmm. But let somebody in so that when you're hit something, you're not alone. You have somebody you could text, you can call in to say, having a rough day, remind me who I am. Remind me what God says about me. And just to pull that truth that even though you don't feel it, this is what he says.
Halls of Heaven is a song for us that was really fun to write. It's really about just coming like a child into his presence. And me being a father, I love it. I know I love it when my kids run up to me, you know, even in the morning, they come in just bursting through the doors, jump on our bed, tell us whatever the dreams they had that night or whatever. They just feel unafraid to be themselves around me. And I think that's how God obviously feels about us, is he loves us unconditionally. He asks us to come boldly and come just as we are. And so this song is really just about that, just coming like children. You know, Matthew 18:3 talks about that. You know, unless we become like a child, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there's this amazing thing that happens when we worship. There's the awe, the reverence that we experience, but also I think this playful side of God that he wants us to have fun. He wants us to feel joy in his presence. And so, yeah, I think this song is just really about that, just coming, like I said, boldly, coming, you know, just as we are, and feeling that freedom and that confidence that we can be ourselves and we can just run to him, run to his arms. And so, yeah, that's just what this song is about.
The latest album from Jesus Culture, Love Has a Name, is available worldwide, featuring 12 brand new songs recorded live at Jesus Culture Sacramento. Get your copy today. Order the CD at store.jesusculture.com with the code JCLP3 for $3 off. Again, that's store.jesusculture.com and the code is JCLP3.
Thanks for listening. You know, this is a subject that's tender to my heart because I want to see us walk in victory and not shame. And, you know, we said something earlier that for so many of us, we hide these ugly. We want to hide it from people, but we also want to hide it from the Lord. And I think true freedom can only come when you show him your ugly, when you bring your ugly to him and let him help you with it. Let him fix it. Let his truth shine on it. Because half the times what we think is a mountain of ugly, he's like, it's a drop. It's nothing. Let me show you the truth of what this is in your life. So thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll see you next month.
I hear your voice through the madness all around me. I feel you here. When my world falls apart, as I walk, I know you will go before me. When I fall, I can feel your hand in mine. Oh, you're never too far away, far away.
Your love is deep. stretching from sea to sea.